We're going to be, we hope, talking shortly with Anne Garrison about the news apropos of Rwanda. And I'll tell you again, that check out the name John Hondrich. He's rather well known at the Toronto Star. And he has written a feature piece in the World section on Saturday about the travails of a gentleman named Himbara. You might have seen him on the BBC. Mr. Himbara was a ranking a major figure in the Rwandan government for a number of years, and a very well-spoken, conscientious. I think he's an economist by training. Anyway, there's a nice profile of him and his difficulties he has experienced with the regime of Paul Kagame. So I think we'll take a break here for just a moment and make sure that we've got our coordinates worked out. And you're listening to the Taylor Report. You can write to us, as I said before, taylor@caut.fm. You can check us out, taylor-report.com, and we'll take a brief break. And we're back, Taylor Report. We are producing on air as we speak. I'll just tell you again that on April the 9th at 7 o'clock at Betsatoon, John Philpott, a Montreal lawyer, and Robin Philpott, publisher of Barack Books, are going to be speaking about a new book concerning the credibility, quality of the international criminal courts. With both, in the case of John Philpott, he's practiced in front of two or three of these courts, and this is an ongoing debate as to whether or not these courts have been properly constituted, whether you see any chance of achieving justice. By the way, late word, Uhuru Kenyatta, president of Kenya, has been, his case against him has been dropped. And if you remember, we went through 3 years of political debate and agony and ended up with an embarrassing result in that they dropped the charges against him. And at the time, he pointed out, I think quite accurately, that the intention was to undermine him and to see if they could prevent him from serving as president of Kenya. And you want to think real hard about that, because he is the son of Jomo Kenyatta, the founder of Kenya. We are not Kenyans, but we know that. And Jomo Kenyatta led the struggle for liberation of Kenya. And so when you find that an international court is summoning Kenyatta, Uhuru means freedom, to go and attend a trial at The Hague rather than serve on as the elected president of his country, you know, maybe the magic word here would be colonialism. It's a mad proposition. John Philpott is very familiar with it all because he worked on the case itself. And so it's an important talk, and it's going to be at Betsatoon on April the 9th. And so make sure you attend that incident. And there will be a book, most of the authors of which are lawyers and jurists who have had association with that court, and with the International Criminal Court and with the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, the International Criminal Tribunal for former Yugoslavia, Sierra Leone. It's quite a list. Each of them has been its own sad, comical story, in my opinion. Incidentally, I also have an essay in that, but that's not the only reason to buy the book, but I would urge you to get it. And you're listening to the Taylor Report at CIUT 89.5 FM. You can write to us, taylor@CIUT.FM. Later on in the show, we're going to talk to Zafar Bengash of Crescent International. Zafar is the, I'd say, after Scott Taylor, Zafar is the guy you want to hear from, if you want to understand the, as Scott Taylor pointed out during that interview, is it's a very complex thing, And Zafar is one of, like Scott Taylor, having been there a lot, is qualified to talk to us about it. And speaking of someone who is qualified to talk about something, we have, I believe, Ann Garrison on the line. Are you there, Ann?
I am. Hi, Phil.
Hi. Thank you for being with us. You have just returned not so long ago. You were in Belgium, where there is a movement to free Victoire Ingabire Umahoza. This woman, outstanding political figure now in Rwanda, has been in prison, I think I saw the figure, 1,618 days. And the world has hardly heard about her. But you've made efforts on her behalf, and indeed won an award for your efforts, and very deserving. Can you tell us what is the latest status of Victoire, and is the government hearing the activity to support her?
Well, if they're hearing of the activity, it seems to be aggravating them because they're treating her worse than ever. Mm-hmm. She is being kept largely in the dark. There's one window to the cell that she's in, and it's painted black. When the paint starts to chip, they come and paint it again. And this is terrible. This is damaging her eyesight, that when she comes out to go to church, which she is allowed to do, the sun hurts her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also very much in isolation. When she's allowed to go to church, she's kept apart from the other prisoners so that she can't talk to anyone. And it sounds punishing for no reason, as though Kagame is taking out his ire on this wonderful, brilliant woman. Terrible.
Yeah. And by the way, could you just review quickly what had she done that brought on the ire? I remember she visited, by the way, North America. I don't know if you met her. I remember she was in Montreal. I didn't get the opportunity, but people were very impressed that she had a democratic project. She wanted a party to be formed, and she wanted to run for office. Can you fill in more of that, what she stood for, or stands for, I should say?
Well, that was a crime. She tried to run for president.
Yeah.
She tried to run for president, and she wound up in jail for 5 years now. And there's a list of charges that anyone who gets thrown in jail with Rwanda seems to be, seems to have thrown at them, no matter what they're really going to jail for. Usually include terrorism, collaborating with the FDLR, conspiring to incite the people of Rwanda to rise up against their government. And
by the way, none of this with any, there's no evidence of that, right? She's a well-known, she speaks, she articulates her views, and she does not collaborate or associate with any armed movements. Is that right?
No, that's not. Excuse me, I accidentally hit a button on my
computer. I like music. It just, it can be a little distracting.
Well, let me tell you, there's a Victoire song that they played. So when you're trying to get someone out of prison, it's important to work up a catchy tune. Mm-hmm. And they have one. I'll send it to you so that you can play it as you're in between music here sometime.
Now, by the way, this is Ann Garrison. Go to anngarrison.com to get a complete picture. Ann has covered this issue as more thoroughly, I think, than any other journalist that I know of. And I read that the ambassador from Holland saw her, but the conditions were nearly impossible for them even to communicate.
Yeah, it was heavily supervised. It was recorded. They were only able to speak in English so that the guards could hear what they were saying, not in Dutch or French. Annika Broederberg also, I might be getting her name wrong. There's a journalist who's very committed to Victoire's story in Holland. Mm-hmm. She was also able to go and speak to Victoire under the same conditions, but that was earlier. And she said at that time that, in spite of everything, Victoire looked radiant, mm-hmm. and that she was writing every day, mm-hmm. That she looked beautiful. And this time, when the Dutch ambassador got in to see her, the problem with the darkness and the eyesight was reported.
Yeah. Now, of course, various, I think Human Rights Watch is aware of her, Amnesty International, each of them have said something about this government and the way it's treating the opposition. I guess we should mention, too, that she isn't the only member of her party locked up, right?
Sylvain Sivamana is also locked up. I believe that he was locked up because he showed up at her trial wearing a T-shirt with her image on it.
And he was arrested for that.
Yes, yes. I mean, when I would see, the opposition would get together to go to her trial, and they would walk. And it was a very sober affair. No one held a sign, and no chanting. Mm-hmm. They just got together and quietly walked to witness. Mm-hmm. Not hard to understand why, when Sylvain Sivamana was arrested and has been in prison for a couple of years now for wearing a T-shirt with her image on it. I mean, they may have thrown some other charges at him, mm-hmm. disturbing the peace, that kind of thing.
Well, T-shirt terrorism, that's just one short step, yeah. You know. This is Ann Garrison. And there was a problem also experienced by her husband. I don't know if you know about that or if there's any update, but it looked for a while like the government of Rwanda might try to have him turned over to them. Do you know any progress on that case?
Well, I met Lynn Muyizere, that's her husband, at the Victoire Prize party, and he's absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. And her family is so courageous and generous, mm-hmm. to be without her and generous about sharing her brilliance with the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But his circumstances, yes, they were trying to deport him. And the European Court of Human Rights made a very unfortunate decision several years ago. They decided that Rwanda's judiciary was okay, that you could get a fair trial in Rwanda, and therefore it was okay to deport people who were charged with genocide crime in Rwanda. And as you know, anyone, mm-hmm. who speaks out against the government or perhaps testifies, yes. In behalf of another defendant, yes. Rwanda, winds up being charged with genocide.
Yes.
And he's charged with some kind of speech crime, mm-hmm. speech and thought crime that encouraged genocide.
So that's still hanging over his head a bit.
Still hanging over his head, and apparently the Netherlands is among the worst about it.
Mm-hmm.
Belgium is not supporting.
Of course,
anymore.
This fits into a general issue of lack of warmth towards refugees of any type, particularly Africans.
Well, I've heard that people from the Islamic world are suffering even more discrimination in Europe than.
Yes.
People from Southern Africa.
I have it.
Being
an African Muslim would probably be the end of the road.
Yeah.
This is Ann Garrison, anngarrison.com. You sat, and I would call it a privilege, I always enjoyed this man's company, Colonel Marshall, a very important figure from Rwandan, the Rwandan war genocide. He was in charge of the city of Kigali for maintaining it as a weapons-free area. He had the most troops under him of any commander part of that UN operation. And he was attending this event on behalf of Victoire Ingabire Umahoza. Could you talk?
Okay.
Tell us about Marshall and how important it is that he was there.
Well, he's very much admired, and he's very committed to truth and justice in Rwanda. He circulated a statement that I signed, I believe you signed it, a number of people in support of the BBC documentary after the Rwandan government and some of its citizens and supporters attacked the BBC over that documentary.
You know, I understand he even attends marches. When they march, he goes and stands at the front. I mean, people should really get to have that register with them. This is a major figure from the 1994 events who believes in the innocence and this project to free Ingabire.
Yeah, very much. I mean, at first, I thought, well, he was the only white guy in the crowd.
Easy to find, huh?
Since I've started following it, I've noticed others with him. But it always stands out, and I point out to people that this is a person who was second in command of the UN peacekeeping forces, and he has a radically different account of what happened, and he says that the RPF never, ever intended to compromise, that their sole goal was seizing power in Rwanda.
Well, I'm really glad you underlined that. It's AnnGarrison.com. Ann, we got to go, but I want to say you've written, thank you for your coverage of Canada. You did an excellent job. People go to this, to Ann's site, because you also discussed our Bill C-51 and your how you and others are appalled to see references to the Holocaust and to Rwanda tied in with the attempt to put over this really ugly piece of legislation.
So I know that, you know, I've known for years that this Harper government was nuts, but I didn't know this far off the rails until your public justice minister, Stephen Blaney, started raving incoherently about the Holocaust and the Rwandan genocide in your parliament.
Mm-hmm.
And that generated a bunch of headlines. And suddenly drew my attention to this bill.
Yeah.
And I spoke to Michael Kiefer.
Yes. That was a very good initiative, because Michael Kiefer gave you some nice quotes, and I really recommend people go to that site. Thanks again very much. We're always glad to talk to you.
Always. Talk to you later, Phil.
Okie doke. Bye-bye. That's AnnGarrison.com. And we're going to be talking shortly with Safar Benghash. Phil, what's that date again in a different booklet? Pardon me, I say different.
That's the tune, April the 9th at 7:30 p.m. Book launch.
At what time?
7:30.
Yeah. I think I was telling people 7, but that's probably good. It'll be full house.
Come at 7 o'clock.
At 7 o'clock. By the way, Betsatoon is one of the great venues in our city. We're very, very glad that they're there. And there's a lot of feel. It's more than just a meeting. You get to, the tea is nice. There's always a snack. And there's an atmosphere where people, they are always civil and they speak to one another clearly. And you actually feel, well, we've moved the ball up the field instead of just, you know, throwing it at each other. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIT 89.5. You can find us taylor-report.com. Facebook, The Taylor Report. I think that forward slash The Taylor Report. And writing to us at taylor@cit.fm. I do recommend you go to the Toronto Star. Check out the article from Saturday in the World section by John Hondrich. I'd say it's one of the more important articles published on this subject in Canada because, the background of everybody involved in the piece, from Mr. Himbara to the Star, which is engaged with Rwanda to try to help develop journalism there. And anyone who's been listening to us over the years, or reads Ann Garrison, et cetera, will know there's a few journalists missing now that would otherwise like to be attending courses on how to be a good journalist. And apparently they got the part about being in a jackpot clear. If you ask questions, you might get a polite answer, or the policeman might follow you home.